Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the June 11th council meeting. Let the records note that we have a quorum. All council members are present. Thank you for that. And please join us in a moment of silence. Thank you. And if we could have, Nancy, would you lead us in the pledge today?
Sure.
Great, thank you.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That'll bring us back to Mayor and Council members' reports and announcements. And I'll start off with a couple of quick announcements before I turn it over. And just a shout out to our AGP folks that you all don't see back there necessarily. But beyond all this, we have some AGP folks that have been taking care of us, and I wanted to extend my thanks and for all them, their help. Also, in regards to that, to make it even smoother, if there is anybody out in the audience that has presentations or slides, it would be helpful if you can let them know ahead of time, and that way that can get that prepared at the slide projector, and that will help us get this meeting going smoothly. So appreciate that. And then since I don't see Mr. Davis out in the audience, I'll go ahead and make another announcement for the Veterans Benefit Concert and Barbecue. This is Sunday, June 23rd, 1 to 4 p.m. It's benefiting the Veterans Shuttle. It's at Highway 41 Antique Emporium Garden Area. Tickets are $10, vets are $5, kids are free, and please come out and join in the festivities, and all the funds go to support the Veterans Express, which transports our veterans in the county to Santa Maria and onward to L.A. For health services, and there's about 25,000 veterans that we have in the county, so it's a good service, and this is a fundraiser for them. So with that, I'll turn it over to my left for anybody who has announcements to the left. George?
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much. I just have three short announcements this evening. First of all, we are less than 1 month away from the 4th of July, and perhaps some of you have received the donation flyer with your water bill. It looks like this. And if you are so compelled to send a donation in, that would be much appreciated. And there's also more information about the 4th of July, the lineup of bands and activities at morrobay4th.org. Second, just as a reminder, but I bet you know already, that school is out for the summer. So please be aware of children out and about in our community. And then tying into that, one very important announcement is for all children in need, and those of you who have children in your neighborhood or know of any families that may be in need this year of food, the school district has canceled summer school. So normally during summer school, the students would eat lunch, but in this case, there won't be that opportunity. However, the food bank has a very strong summer lunch program that through cooperation with the San Luis Coastal School District, our Del Mar Elementary, and our own community volunteers from the Estero Bay Alliance for Care, also known as EBAC, there will be free lunch provided to all children in this community, and other children are welcome as well, from all ages up to 18 years old. So that will happen 5 days a week, starting Monday, which is June 17, and it will go until August 7. And it will be 5 days a week from 11:30 until 12:30, and it will be at the Del Mar Elementary, where the students are currently eating lunch, outside covered patio. So it will be a cold lunch, but the menus look terrific, and it's very well balanced and very healthy, and it's free, and it's for all children. There's no registration, there's no sign up, no paperwork. Adults cannot eat, but children are more than welcome. So again, it begins this Monday and goes until August 7. And transportation may be an issue, because with summer school comes the buses. However, I know there'll be a couple other announcements about this, but if students are needing to get children, they don't have to be students at Del Mar, any children that are here, they are able to ride the bus for free this summer, just not the Morro Bay trolley. but all the buses are free for kids, not the trolley, and that will get you right to the end of Sequoia Street and walk right up to Del Mar Elementary. So if you have any more questions about that, feel free to contact me through my numbers on the city website, and I can give you more information. Thanks.
Thank you. Nancy? George didn't have anything.
Okay. Whoops. I guess this is on. A couple of things in terms of buses. The North County Summer Beach Shuttle has started. It started the 7th, runs through August 24th, 5 days a week, Tuesdays through Saturday. And this is a bus that will come from Paso Robles, Templeton, and Atascadero 3 days a week. It will drop students and adults. Actually, it's $3 for adults, free to students all summer. And it will drop students at Highway 1 and San Jacinto at the beach or up at the Cayucas Pier. So if you are at all interested and you know people who might want to come over from Atascadero or Paso Robles or Templeton, let them know that there is a bus, a free bus, that they can ride to the beach. Next, speaking of veterans, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock is the annual, the monthly veterans
in the room and networking opportunities, and just wanted to recognize them for a great job putting that together, and hopefully they'll continue to do that sort of work and provide benefits for the community, like the lights, solar light program that this was benefiting. A reminder for everyone, we have our budget workshop, our second one, coming up tomorrow right here. That's June 12th, 5 p.m., and it will be a continuation of our first one, so feel free to show up for that. And we have the review and update of the agenda and some of the staff reports online, so if you'd like to review those, feel free to go to the city's website. Then the next day, Thursday, the 13th, we'll have our JPA meeting with Cayucas up at Cayucas Vets Hall at 6 p.m. Not a lot of real high-profile items on the agenda, but continued discussions with Cayucas and an update about what we're going to be doing to maintain the existing plants as we develop the plan for the new plants. So feel free to tune in there. And then with our Public Works Advisory Board, our every other month meeting is going to be June 20th here also, Thursday, 6 p.m. And two items that are really important for us that the Public Works Advisory Board will be discussing. One will be an update of the Chorro Valley. It'll be a similar presentation that we had regarding water rights and water in the Chorro Valley, and to let the PUAB board get up to speed on that and allow more public input, and then basically be prepared for the Public Works Advisory Board to be more involved with that discussion as it evolves. So they'll be talking about that and the continuation of the Urban Forest Management Plan. So two important items at your Public Works Advisory Board meetings June 20th. And then the last one is our Estero Bay Community Garden is turning 10 years old. It seems like we just got started with the garden up there on Ironwood, south of Del Mar Park, but we are 10 now. You can tell because the garden's come quite a long ways with our infrastructure and urban orchard and the number of gardeners, and I would like to say our skills at gardening as well. So we're going to do our annual dinner in the garden, and that's going to be June 30th. That's a Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., and tickets are now available at Coalesce Bookstore as well as a number of gardeners. You can show up that day, so June 30th, 1 to 4. We're going to do our organic chicken, beans, salads, and all sorts of desserts made from the garden. And we'll have Jim Conroy and the Mystery Brothers playing music on the porch. And again, the Kids Corner, where we'll be doing all sorts of fun activities, keep the kids satisfied, including making ice cream with berries from the garden. So if you're interested in more details on that, you can call our head gardener, Johanna Varland, at 772-9580. Thanks.
Great, thanks. I just want to follow up with one more announcement, as well as the beach shuttle. Coming up this summer is the RTA also has a summer shuttle. It's free for all kids for 12th grades under and under. So all the kids out there that want to cruise around the county, RTA would be free for them. So that's a great opportunity as well. With that, we'll move on to public presentations. And I know we've got a few tonight. We've got Ms. Meredith Bates. I think we've got a couple announcements from our police department, Commander Millard and Officer Pippin. So if Meredith, if you'd like to come up, thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Meredith Bates, and my company is Bates Care Management. And just listening to your announcement, it reminded me of how proud I am of being a citizen here in Morro Bay and the wonderful things you're doing for our community. So I thank you. And I want to take my 3 minutes or however many seconds I have left to let you know a little bit about the business that I provide. I'm located in Morro Bay. I've been doing geriatric care management for the past 10 years. I do cover the entire county. And as a geriatric care manager, I work with elderly folks to manage their care so they can stay safely in their own homes or perhaps make the transition to assisted living. So I often work with families, and I hire the caregivers, make sure the doctors are in place, the right legal forms are in place, maybe someone needs help making sure their home is cleaned up. So I work carefully with the family, if available, and with the elderly person in the community. Geriatric care managers are nationally certified folks. I have a master's degree, and some of us have RN degrees, but we're all certified by our national organization. And if you need a care manager in another place, you can log on to our website, which is caremanager.org. Put in your zip code. And I also provided everybody up there with a senior information guide. They're free. They're at the Senior Center, and it has a lot of resources for seniors in our entire county.
Thank you, Ms. Bates. Thanks very much.
Welcome.
Commander Millard or Officer Pippin, I think you've got some presentations for us. Great.
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council. Thank you guys for having me tonight. I really appreciate it. So does Cello. Hold on one second. You must meet everybody. I'm here to invite everybody to our third annual Canine Dog Walk. It's going to be on June 22nd from 10 to 2, and it's our big fundraiser for Cello and the Canine Unit throughout the year. We're going to have, we actually changed the location this year. We used to have it out at the Rock. This year we're going to have it at City Park, so it's nice grass. We're going to have vendors and a lot of different types of canine demos, police canine demos. We're going to also have his friends out there from Pismo Beach Police Department, Atascadero Police Department, and Lompoc Police Department out there to do the demos with us. Along with that, we're going to have a 1 mile and a 0.5-mile dog walk. So anybody that wants to participate could come and walk their dogs, bring their dogs. We're asking for a $20 donation if they can do it. And with that $20 donation, they'll be able to do the walk, and they're going to get a goodie bag for full of stuff for their dogs and for them. At the event, after everybody walks, they're going to be able to, we have vendors that are specifically for dogs, and we have a doggy carnival. All of the carnival stuff for the dog is for free, where they're going to have a doggy cakewalk, which is pretty cool, and doggy bobbing for balls, and then we also have a doggy food eating contest. And believe it or not, they have dogs that win. And we get little the people don't win cakes for the doggy cakewalk. They actually get cakes for the animals. So we encourage people to bring their dogs, as many dogs as they want. Our dogs get along with other dogs. And also family, friends. We'll have stuff for the kids. I'm hoping to have some face painting, and we'll have we have food vendors there as well. All the funds go towards supporting the canine Cello throughout the year. So this is, like I said, our big fundraiser, and we hope everybody can make it here at City Council and out in the public. We'd love to see them. Our big thing this year, we're going to have a Humvee, and we're going to be able to take pictures with all the police dogs. So if you want a picture with Cello, you can have a picture with Cello, or you can have a picture with one of the other canines that are out there and meet them and personally get to pet them and see how community-oriented they are, because they're great dogs. They might be out there to work for police department, but they're also very friendly, and we want everybody to come out and meet them. Thank you for your time, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm Brian Millard, Commander of the Morro Bay Police Department. I want to encourage you all to support Officer Pippen and her fundraising goals. It takes between $7,000 and $10,000 a year to maintain a police canine in our community. That goes towards ongoing vet bills, food, training costs, and equipment replacement needs to support it, but it's been an incredible asset to our community. You don't see a lot of the work that Officer Pippen and Cello do because it's behind the scenes, sometimes during nighttime hours, but it's the presence in the community. It's the available resource for our neighboring agencies as well as our own for both searches, for missing persons, for narcotics cases, all of that Cello is trained to do. It's an enormous improvement to our police resources, which is why we're so focused on fundraising, so please support that. In addition, I want to tail end and thank you, Mayor, for your comments regarding Tippecop last week, and also encourage you that the week following the dog walk, which is Friday, June 28th, starting at 5 p.m., we will be having our annual Tippecop dinner to support Slo County Special Olympics. I don't have a flyer up there, unfortunately. Again, it's June 28th, which is a Friday evening, and there is some information that says 5 or 5:30. I'm here to tell you it is definitely 5 p.m., although 5:30 works for us as well. Tickets are $20 for an adult ticket. That includes a tri-tip and chicken barbecue and drinks to support that. This year, we're expanding our service. Not only do you get bad service from members of the police department, but you're going to get bad service from members of our harbor department and bad service from members of our fire department. So it's not just tip a cop. It's tip a public safety professional, but it won't fit on a flyer, so that's why we're maintaining it. But because we're Morro Bay, we want to make it about community, and community's emergency services in all these departments. And so we brought this dinner home. We want to see all of you out there, and so I encourage you to support that as well. There are vegetarian entrees and also kids' meals available. And the theme this year is superheroes, which means you might see some creative costume ideas if I can get people to step outside their comfort zones a little bit, including myself. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Okay. And before we move on to public comment, I have a request for council. I wanted to pull for discussion item D2 to reconsider coming back with another lease site, Gray's Inn, at a future date. And I just wanted to get agreement whether or not we would do that from council. So I would turn it over to my right to see if we have an agreement on this or not. Nancy?
Actually, no. I'd like to see it come back as a small lease site available.
So you're in favor of hear it tonight?
I would like to see it tonight.
The smaller lease sites that is managed by individuals is much more successful than the larger combined one. We got three of them down there that is a large combined, and they've had problems. So I'm all for just keeping this one on thing tonight and go for the smaller lease sites.
Okay.
I'm very much against joining these together.
Just to be clear, I don't think it has anything to do with joining the lease sites whatsoever, just an opportunity of bringing them back together at that time. I don't have any preconceived notions of joining these at all. Christine?
So Mr. Kruger was made available that this might happen. Do you think, was Noah, you spoke to him?
I beg your pardon?
Does anyone know if we spoke to the individual Mr. Kruger was anticipating this was happening? Do we have any? And I just when I prepare for something, it's always an expectation that it will happen. So it sounds like, Noah, you spoke with him, and your feedback to us from him was that he was comfortable with that. Okay. Well, yeah. I don't mind. I think that like last 2 weeks ago, we did have several all coming due at the same time, and they were in the same region. I think we may have a great discussion about that. So I look at this, if we continue it as the same kind of discussion we can have at that time. So I'm comfortable continuing. Is that the question?
Yes.
Yes.
And so I think we've got a majority to continue this item. Item D2, that would be the Kayak Horizons. And with that, we'll move to closed session. One quick question. Do we have to put that to a vote, or just the majority?
Why don't we do a quick motion, just a motion to continue
Thank
D2.
You.
And is there a date certain, or just until, because we don't know when we're going to get Gray's in, but we'll try to do it in the first meeting in July.
Yeah, I think that seems reasonable. So I'd make a motion that we continue item D2, the Kayak Horizon lease site, to we don't have a date certain, but to bring it back with a Gray's Inn, we expect in June or July. Do I have a second?
Second.
We've already had discussion. Any other discussion on that? Do I have a...
One discussion item. When I talked to Mr. Kruger, I'm under the assumption that Gray's proposal will be coming back within a month or so, top. So I think it's important that we respect Mr. Kruger's proposal, mm-hmm. and if for some reason there's a delay with Gray's, that we don't hold Mr. Kruger's proposal mm-hmm. hostage to Gray's. But it would be nice to see them both at the same
time. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 3-2. Excuse me. We had to be able to. Did you say no?
Yeah.
And Nancy? A no? So 3-2? Okay. Thank you. Okay, now we can move on to public comment. Thanks for taking the time with that, Council. Public comment. We'll open public comment. This is for items not on the agenda currently. And before we jump up, Mr. Kruger, I think, was here. I didn't know if you wanted to speak on this or not, and I didn't want to put you on the spot, but if you want an opportunity to speak at public comment, I thought I'd extend it. Okay. Thanks very much. At this time, public comment is open. Please state your name. There's 3 minutes to speak to items that are not on the agenda. And if there are items that are on the later on in the evening that you can't stay to, then this is also the opportunity for that. So welcome.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Brian Stacey. I'm a victim of the largest conspiracy in human history. It's gigantic. It's got federal components, state components, overseas components. It's a huge conspiracy. But what I'm here to talk to you guys about tonight is crime and your position or your responsibility as governmental people. When I come up here and I tell you about a crime that occurs in my life, you're kind of obligated by government code to follow through on that. So just in the future, bear in mind, when I come up and tell you I didn't get my PG&E money and everybody else did, you are kind of obligated to figure out why, or then it falls on the police department. And I got to peel this conspiracy off my back one layer at a time, and I'm going to have to start right here in town. And I want to remind you and staff and all the citizens that if you take money to conspire against a fellow American, over $700 or $900 is a felony. And this conspiracy is in relationship to murder-oriented charges, conspiracy to commit murder, attempted murder, and actual murder. So that felony will never go away if people have taken over $700. So I just want people to be aware of that's a crime that doesn't ever go away, no matter what happens with me. Although the prudent action would be to settle me off and get me out of the way so I'm not running around identifying this crime that potentially people have too late to hop on the justice bandwagon, and the less money you take, the less of a crime that's been committed to anybody who is taking money to be in this conspiracy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian. Public comment is open for any of those who would like to speak. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for this opportunity. I'm Craig Schmidt, Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. A couple of dates to put down on your calendar. Tomorrow, the Los Osos Chamber and the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce are doing a joint mixer at Sea Pines Restaurant, and that is from 5:30 to 7 o'clock, so I hope you can all make it there. Our mixer for the Morro Bay Chamber is next Thursday, the 20th, and that will be at Casa de Flores. And they've always done a great mixer for us from 5:30 to 7 o'clock. That morning of the 20th is our community forum in the upstairs of the Embarcadero Grill, where you'll actually get an opportunity to interrogate our chief of police. And that should be fun. Right, Amy? Yeah, she's looking forward to it. And that is at 9 o'clock, from 9 to 10 o'clock. So come meet Amy and see what her department is all about. I'm sure that's going to make you very proud of the great people that we have here in Morro Bay working for us. And then the Economic Vitality Corporation will be doing business consulting all day on the 21st from 9 to 5. So if you have a business and you want some free expert consultation, confidential, give the Chamber a call at 772-4467. Thanks, and have a great evening.
Thank you. Craig, I have a question for you. The consultation, where is that going to be located at?
That'll be at 695 Harbor Street at the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce and Business Center.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Anybody else for public comment? Thank you.
Susan Stewart, resident of Morro Bay. I own a business on the, in the 300 block of Morro Bay Boulevard. Love y'all, but I don't want to stay until item D4, so I'm going to speak real briefly on it. Just to say I'm so pleased to see that this is a real possibility to finally have a public restroom in the downtown core. I've talked with a number of the business owners who couldn't be here tonight, but they're all very much in favor, much needed by both visitors and residents who want to spend some time downtown, need a proper public restroom in that core area to go. I know it's an expense. I know it's a tight budget this year for everybody. And I know there's some thoughts about subletting the property. One thought perhaps would be to bring that visitor center up to that corner. It'd be an ideal spot for it. There would be parking in the lot in back for the people working at the visitor center, so no extra cars on the road, and certainly easy enough to stop, get your information, and move on. If you open it up, make a nice parklet, great place for people to sit, bring their coffee from across the street or down the street too. So I think great concept, really excited to see that it could be happening, and I hope you vote to approve it. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Anybody else for public comment? Great.
Good evening, members of the council. My name is Aaron Oakes. I'm managing editor of The Rock in Morro Bay. I just wanted to remind people that on June 25th, there's going to be discussion on the Morro Bay Aquarium with the city council. So I think it'd be great for a lot of people to come down to the Veterans Hall and participate, because it's a constantly evolving political situation, and I think there's a lot of voices that need to be heard. I'm going to speak really briefly about those voices because I got an email the other day that was forwarded to me by some of the opposition to the Morro Bay Aquarium, and I believe it was also forwarded to the Morro Bay City Council. Quite frankly, I found that the video was in poor taste because it's an appeal to extremism, it's an appeal to emotion, and I think that there's a lot of concerns on both sides of the argument. At the same time, we can't bury our heads in the sand and say everything's okay, while at the same time we can't just say this is SEAL Guantanamo, we need to shut it down, and then post a bunch of Yelp reviews along with some really disturbingly sad music. So I think that the Tylers have contributed a lot to the community, whether or not you agree with their methods or you agree with their conformance. That's a subject to debate, but I believe that they are entitled to...
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Linda Merrill. I just came past Highway 41 and the freeway, and there is a dangerous situation there. There's more cars trying to turn right. I don't know if there's an accident up on the other road or what, Cuesta Grade. But there's so many cars trying to turn right that the last car is sticking out into the slow lane in the freeway. So I don't know if it's some unusual occurrence. This happened before at Cuesta College. There was a left turn lane from the freeway into the college, and the last student was stopped in the slow lane. So I think there's a really serious problem going on there. I don't know if it's just tonight or we just have a problem there. So if you could look into maybe extending that right turn lane or something, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Linda. Anybody else for public comment?
I'm Bob Keller, resident of Morro Bay. This is going to be on a light side. I want to give a kudos to Ken Vesterfeldt. Ken, in the last meeting, thanked everybody but himself. He's a modest man. He doesn't want to take any credit, but he did a real good job on the last car show. Anyway, it was one of the best car shows I've ever seen since I've been here. The crowds were huge. The cars and the vehicles were some of the best. And they came from all over California, from many states, and Canada. Also, with Dennis Gage covering the event, you got my notes. we have national and international coverage. And it's going to be on My Classic Cars, starring Dennis Gage, next year in April. So anyway, I think we should all, when we see Ken on the streets, just give him a big kudo for a job well done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob.
Hi, I'm Kay Crocker. I'm a resident of Morro Bay and a business owner on Main Street, and I just am here in support of the restroom being put in downtown area. It's really needed. We have people asking continually where they can go. We have to send them down to the waterfront, and we just would really appreciate if something was done about that. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to council. And any comments on public comment to my left? George? No? Christine? To my right, Nancy?
I'll just make the quick comment about Highway 41 in Maine. Thanks to Ms. Merrill. I believe there was a pretty major accident with a big rig on the grade. So I would suggest if anyone is driving in the area and has the option to try to avoid the Highway 41 and Main intersection for the moment. And I'm not sure if Chief Christie would like to mention anything else.
Thank you, Council Member. Is that working? Oh, it's excellent. Actually, it's in the Tribune. So we pulled up the Tribune. There's a picture of the big rig closing down 101, so people might have scooted their way over. But I don't know for a fact if that's what's going on here.
Are you all done there, Noah?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for all for coming out and speaking of public comment. Thanks for your comments in support of the restrooms. It's important that we hear feedback on that. And everybody else, I think we had some great presentations as well today, so thanks for coming out. And with that, we'll move along to our consent calendar. And does anybody have anything to pull on the consent calendar?
I'd like to pull A4.
A4. Anything else? To my right, anything on the consent calendar? I'll make a comment. I think we need to pull item A1 for just a correction on some spelling there, some typo. Seeing that, do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar less item A1 and A4?
I would second.
Do I have a motion for that?
Oh, motion, sorry.
So moved.
Okay, thank you. And a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. We have a motion to approve items A2 and A5.
Item on the actual new water reclamation facility project every month. While we do bring this forward to JPA at every meeting, this is just another opportunity to get the information out there to the public, what's going on with the existing plant and the new future plant. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I think it's great to have all the information out there. And now people get a little preview of the JPA. All right. Thank you. That's all I can
thank
move
you.
To approve A4.
Second. Do we have a motion to approve A1 and A4?
Oh, pardon me. I would amend my motion to move to approve A1 and A4.
Seconds with a brief discussion.
So we have a motion and a second. A discussion?
Yes, I just wanted to recognize in the MMRP that our wastewater treatment plant staff have taken some time here to tour a number of facilities around the state, and so I just want to commend them for doing that proactive work. I think there's a lot of information to be learned from that effort, and I look forward to continuing that.
Great. Thank you. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. And since we have, we don't have public hearings, but we do, do you want to take a short, couple of minutes break, and then we can come back and discuss our unfinished business? Oh, sure, sure. Okay, we'll do that. So we'll move on to item C1, which is the concept plan for the Centennial Stairway, and that would be Mr. Schultz.
Yes, good evening. This review is the review of the three proposed concept plans for the improvements to the Centennial Staircase. I'll go into a little bit of history. Up on the projector is an overview of the properties at that location. In 2001, and well, first I'll orientate you a little bit. Let me see if this is working. Yes. Here is the Embarcadero along here. Here is what we call 714 Embarcadero, which is a very large parking lot that we own. This parcel up here, which is 6,769 square foot, is where the current restaurant was, former Brannigan's and now D'Estacio's. Across the street over here is a parcel of approximately 14,367 feet. And this is, I'm losing it, Market Street and Pacific down here. So in 2001-2002 time frame, the city purchased this lot here, the vacant lot here, for $500,000. It's a, like I said, 14,000 square foot approximately lot, which figured out to $34.75 a square foot. We then turned around again in the 2002-2003 time frame and purchased what I mentioned was the entire 714 Market and where the restaurant, the former Brannigan's, was. That was the 34,514 square feet and the 6,769 square feet, which totaled 41,000 square feet approximately, which figured out to be $65.40 per square foot was the price for that property. We tried marketing. We went out for requests for proposals for a hotel for this entire site with no success during that time frame. These other parcels that are shown really aren't applicable, but at the time they were part of the possible development, and that we also own the right-of-way here and down where the park is down at the bottom with the chess set and our bathroom. But those really aren't applicable for this part, but they are shown in even the right-of-way square footages because at the time that could have been part of the parcel. But in 2010, the city decided to sell this 6,769 square foot building here and ended up selling the across the street the 14,000 387 square foot. We sold those two parcels for $1.5 million. That total was 21,283 square feet. So the per square foot amount that we sold it for was $70.48. So we sold it for more than we had purchased it for at the $65.40 and much more than the $34.75 for this parcel across the street. And so when we sold that property, part of the agreement was that we were going to increase the size of the 6,769 square foot lot to allow approximately 3,000 more square feet. This is very hard to show, but this was the map. The next one will show it much more. But here is the parcel that's that type of triangle parcel, and we continued it all the way over to Pacific Street. This shows you much better of what we did based on the other one, a little bit of overdrive. So this was 6,700 with both staff delays and with the buyer in trying to figure out what the cost for each of these proposals are. So with that, I'll provide you now with the three proposals and how we got there. So the first proposal, which is a little bit difficult to see up on there, is for a what is known as a funicular. And that proposal basically would require the entire centennial staircase is being removed. If you see the funicular would move down the hill here, it shows the top of it. It shows it kind of in the middle and going down the hill. There's staircases on both sides, concrete staircases on both sides of this sides. I'll go over the cost, estimated cost at the end, but that's the first funicular. This was the project back in December November that the previous council proposed would be. This is before we knew the cost estimates, and that's why it's coming back to you to reevaluate whether that's still the project we want to move forward with planning. Proposal number two is a little different in that it also requires a complete removal of the centennial staircase. It cantilevers out over, and it has an up and down elevator going down to the bottom floor. It stops at the second floor, which allows access to the bottom floor of the restaurant area. And to orientate you, here's the restaurant area over here on both of these. The restaurant that currently exists is over here. And so, again, it's a complete redevelopment of the entire area with the elevator coming on over. Just to show you the cost estimates that came in for the first project, which is the funicular, is $1.2 million. And this is very rough estimates. The estimates to do the elevator and completely redoing all the stairs in the whole area is $985,000 in very rough estimate costs. So the third proposal that's come back after looking at these two proposals is the third one. And I'll just orientate you now with some of the pictures. The third proposal allows for the staircase to remain in its current state and really would have some changes to it, but these staircases going down would remain the same. The proposal, as you'll see, provides for the elevator to be right about here, and it would empty out onto this area. It would be a much larger area, but then the staircase would down below would remain. Same, this is really the whole area that would change is where this current is, and the staircase would remain pretty much in its current state. And there's another view of it. So if you look at it, and here's the restaurant here, this area, which is part of the hill, would be new area constructed. Material is not known yet, but it could match the other being wood. The wood would come all the way out, and then the elevator is here. And as you can see, the stairs remain on both as they currently exist. This is on the mid-level of it. Here's the elevator part of it with the stairs and going into the building here, but the stairs remain the same here and here. And that's the bottom level with the level there, and there's certainly landscape and area that would have to be constructed there. So the reason why it's coming back to you is in the beginning there were two proposals, the funicular and the elevator that were proposed. And these are very, grand projects, but the costs are very high. It would require substantial investment also by the city. Basically, although the agreement does not have a dollar value on it, the consideration for the 3,000 square feet, if you do that on a per square footage basis, comes to about $250,000, $300,000. We could evaluate it differently and get up to the $350,000 to $400,000 range. The buyer is willing to do all of the improvements for this last project, which is approximately $324,000 rough estimate in hard costs and $60,000 in soft costs. So the buyer is prepared to do the last proposal, which in I believe satisfies the agreement that we have with him. That's fair consideration for the 3,000 extra square foot. But the city certainly could say we want to do either one of these other projects and negotiate exactly how much his percentage that he would pay would go into the project. That would be somewhere in the neighborhood of the $350,000 to $400,000 is where I would negotiate with him on that amount if we were to do the other two projects, and that means the city would have to come up with the remaining amount of money for that. So that's why in front of you, I know last time we talked about it, there was a lot of talk about the staircases remaining. However, there is work that needs
that idea. My problem with both of the other proposals is that they don't go all the way to the top. They leave you, it looks like, at that bottom. Do they go all the way to Destacio's at the top?
Correct, yes. This would be the top, and so it would incorporate an entire new, this whole entire area would be new, and then this is where you would get on the elevator there. Then you go down to the next level, and he would have, obviously, some new decking area here that would, it would let you out right where the staircases go out to the angle and straight down. And then there's the bottom level where you'd come out.
So both of those go all the way from the very bottom to the very top?
Correct.
Okay. There is a real considerable difference between Exhibit B and Exhibit C. And that leaves me to wonder, is Exhibit B like a regular closed-in elevator, and Exhibit C would be like the lift you see someplace for handicapped people?
The elevator costs are about the same, and it's more the hardscape and everything around it. I mean, you know, if you look at C, you know, his really major improvement is just having to do this decking area here, come over here and do the elevator. Whereas you look at B, you're really demoing everything and doing quite a bit of hardscape and concrete work and stairs and everything, because then it just comes straight out and comes down, and it's a completely different product. But if you look at their cost estimates, each one has the same type of elevator amount in it.
Okay, well, that was where I got a little confused, because we were referring to one as an elevator and the other one as a lift, and
although
it sounded like two different
same.
Things. Yeah, they're both the same. Okay, could we maybe just get a quick estimate from Mr. Woods about what it would cost to repair those stairs or take them out or whatever will happen to the Centennial stairs? I know they're in pretty bad shape.
Yeah, I'll do my best. Thank you, and good evening, Council. The staircase, we did some remodeling in at the staircase, and the years have gotten by a little bit, maybe about 8 to 10 years ago. We put new stringers in both the staircase runs, pickets on the railing to make it more compliant to today's standards. We probably would have to go back in and replace a lot of the treads, not so much the infrastructure, more of the treads that have been worn. And then we would verify any kind of upgrades with today's standards with Rob's department to make sure we are meeting today's building codes. I think we're pretty close. Might be some changes. I haven't verified that lately. So dollar amount's hard to find. We might have some surplus wood out of the yard from the tanks. There's some storage out there, but it's getting to be slim pickings, and a lot of the lumber that's left is rather large timber, and so not so much for tread work unless we were to go and get it milled and sized up for those treads. So we probably could range between 10 to 20,000 to do choose a major work there to get it to really up to par with any kind of new development that would surround it. That's just a rough guess right off the top. I can come back with hard numbers if I need to.
Noah.
Yeah, thank you. That was going to be one of my questions, was how much we would need to invest in the Centennial staircase. And that would be an interesting approach to mill some of the older large timbers. And I know Pacific Lumber Company would be an excellent place to discuss that with and give us a fair price, I'm sure. One question about the elevator. Is that have glass windows facing the bay? You know, if there's any detail on that, is it kind of...
I mean, that could be one of the requirements. We make sure it's in there. He has, as a line item, $100,000 for each of the elevators across, both of them. So it seems he was looking at the same construction. But that's stuff we can still, when it goes through the planning, I mean, we could require that.
It seems like that would be a real nice touch. So for me, I'm looking forward to moving forward on this project and getting it completed, and obviously really need to keep in mind what we can afford. So I'm very much inclined towards option C. I like that it preserves the Centennial Staircase and allows us to give it some TLC, and I would like to see maybe working with the Historical Society to install some a historical plaque or monument recognizing the connection and story with the Centennial Staircase. I think it's a really great story and obviously a key point for our community with Market and the Embarcadero and the bottom of Morro Bay Boulevard. And we have a lot of hopes to help connect the downtown district with the Embarcadero.
Now we have the opportunity to really do this and do it right. Yes, it's expensive, but we're going to have something here that is going to be such an attraction that you're going to, we're talking about bringing revenue into town. Something like this will create revenue back and forth up and down the Embarcadero, from the Embarcadero to uptown and back. The attraction there is so great. I think it's worth. I don't have the money or the funds to find it, but I think there is a way to do this. This we have an opportunity to really put Morro Bay on the map and do something that would really tie the area down below the Embarcadero area to the uptown. And what an attraction this thing would be! This would bring people to Morro Bay. Sure, I'm fond of the Centennial Stairway too, but you know, time marches on, and if we miss this opportunity here, you know, we talked about the wastewater plant, how it's going to cost us a lot of money to move it somewhere else, but we were willing, where everybody seems to be willing to pay that money to move it to somewhere else because it's going to be such a great thing. Well, here again, this is something like the wastewater plant. This is money that maybe should be spent somehow. Like I said, raising this money going to be difficult, but business people, I think, would get behind this. And what an attraction. I could just keep saying, what an attraction for Morro Bay. This would really put Morro Bay on the map.
Thanks, George. Christine?
Okay, thank you very much. You know, I was born in Pennsylvania, and the city of Pittsburgh has inclines, and they are an attraction for sure. So I can understand, you know, you get in the bottom and you ride way up to the top of the hills. It's a very hilly city if you've been there. So I think of this as, you know, the world's smallest funicular would also perhaps have some really interesting tourist tie-in. At this point, it doesn't sound to me like we're really doing anything to stop a funicular from ever coming or some kind of an attraction. At this point, I think we're not doing anything that would stop that from happening in the future or something else there. But I think what the owner of the building is offering to do is give us a link that we don't currently have, which is for folks who can't make the stairs, folks in wheels, women with, you know, strollers. So I think that I would like to see a connection from the two civic areas of our town to get people moving. I think I would also second an elevator with a glass view, but I would say glass views all around if possible, like from the midpoint up, because I think it's just, it feels nicer, I think, in an elevator to have that opening. And then I also think it's a little, we can always see in the elevator what's happening. So I would like to see as much glass as possible in the elevator. And the other thought I had was, would there be any interest, do you think, in negotiating with the owner for some of the funds to fix up the staircase?
I think that's certainly a possibility.
Okay, because I do think it does enhance his property.
Yes.
To have a beautiful staircase and also to have the elevator. So certainly that would be, I would think, a good investment for him in that way as well. I do like the stairs. I think that each level you have a different view, so I think it's interesting to have two stops on the elevator. And at this point, the only thing is I would tend to want to hear some other, you know, I guess it hasn't gone to the Planning Commission or the Rec and Parks Commission at all. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And it certainly would have to go to the Planning Commission once we begin that process. It would next step is to send it to planning, but you could send it to Rec and Park to get their input during that process also.
I'm kind of tempted, just because I think it's a great way to incorporate the outdoor space, but I don't want to slow it down. So perhaps it's best for the council to say, well, we could have some discussion about that up here. I'd love to see it. The other thing I wanted to mention about this area, and it's in keeping with some other discussions we've had about connecting our downtown, is I went online and I didn't have much time prior to review it to see what was said about this particular area, although I know it was I know we spent time on it, but in 2010 there was the extensive research project, the Morro Bay Downtown Specific Plan, that we were in partnership with Cal Poly about, and we had a lot of community input.
Yeah, that was the downtown visioning. Yeah.
That was what I always call it too, but now it's called more. But I thought it was called. If you're looking for it online, I would encourage people to look it up if you're interested. It's actually, I think, if I'm correct, but if I'm not, correct me. Morro Bay Downtown Specific Plan.
Mm, that could have been the Rudat.
No, this one. No? This one had pictures. Yeah. Pretty. Okay. Yeah, it was spring 2010. Mm. So at any rate. If we were
able. Whereas Exhibit B, you know, basically pops the elevator in the center. It's visible. You know, everybody knows that's what it's for. And I guess that's what I would talk about as far as, you know, bringing that elevator out even to where the stairs end. And that just, you know, we talk about connecting the downtown, George, and kind of, you know, making that a center attraction. I think that would enhance that, and by pulling that elevator out a little bit. I know that might require a little bit more transition, but, you know, I would like to have some direction as far as moving that elevator out to where it's more centrally located.
So right, it is difficult. So these are just concept plans to envision it. But if you do look at it, this is really where the location would be. So if, when you started up at the top and you come down, you would step out right here and go down the stairs right across. The problem with is if you start to move it over in the center, then you're going to have to realign and redo all your stairs. So he was trying to stick it in a position that would require as little so when you see it, you know, you come here along here and you're right, it isn't the center. Here's probably the center, but if you do that, you're going to be right in the middle of the staircase. And so that's the issue he was trying to do with this configuration, is not change Centennial Staircase in any way to preserve it for its historical purpose, and also just for cost wise also. So because I had the same questions, it does a little bit more tucked. But I think we have ways that we can make it so that it is completely accessible, and maybe this vegetation is not built up. And we do need to see a cross-section of it. That would really help.
Yeah,
but those are things I think during the planning and when it comes to you could change. You know, obviously whatever you change, it might increase the cost, but not the same as if you go with Exhibit B and C. And one of the questions you had earlier, just for the retaining wall and structural work for B, was his estimates $250,000, and on C it's only $80,000. Just to show you the difference of tearing everything out and redoing the retaining walls as opposed to this one. So we did talk about that though, because I had the same concerns. It was kind of nice if it was centered coming down Morro Bay Boulevard, but we just couldn't really figure out where that would occur in this. In fact, his idea even had it more over here, and we came up with right here. But certainly, you know, maybe planning, when they really get into it, can look at that issue. You know.
Yeah, I guess the where we are with C is basically totally preserving the Centennial Stairways. Yeah, that's the proposal we're looking at, whether we want to say for the historical value or not. Or cost, yeah, and considering Exhibit B, where, you know, that was the complete bang, you know, showcase job from ground up, basically. I'm still trying to, you know, I know we want to move forward with this. I think everybody's in agreement with that. I still want to explore, you know, whether or not we just want to. We're going to completely go with the way this is, and we're going to basically, I'm not going to say shoehorn it in there, but we're kind of fitting it in the existing footprint within what we have. And, you know, then the option is just exploring, making the adjustments, and then coming up with what we would want to, you know, make out of that other than using the existing Centennial Stairway. But we don't have any kind of cost estimate for that as well. So I think if we were to, I'll turn that over in a minute. I just want to throw that conversation out for my colleagues on council. So now, Nancy, you have some comments.
Well, I think we've had a lot of comments on this so far. And since it has to go to Planning Commission, I move that we forward this to Planning Commission with all three exhibits as possibilities and have them come back to us with their best idea.
So the Planning Commission isn't necessarily going to design this, though. I mean, that's where we're getting
well,
at.
Well, that's more their job than ours, is to do the design. And isn't that what Planning Commission does?
Let me back up a little bit, because they're not going to be – we have to make sure that we – give clear direction on where we want to go, and if we give them three, we want to have some specifics on what we would expect out of that. So I'm throwing out for conversation on, because I know, as example for Noah, you're ready to just go with the way it is. I'm throwing out there the thought of it doesn't really fit in the as kind of showcasing what we want as a transition for the downtown and down to the Embarcadero.
That by adjusting the elevator, besides losing the ability to do as affordable a project as possible, and therefore perhaps getting the property owner to help us with the Centennial Staircase remodel or renovation, we retain the elevator to be tucked back, and those platforms that are going to be expanded at the middle level and at the top level to be really a great additional gathering spaces. And with the downtown enhancement project and the visioning that went on there from memory, a lot of the discussion about that area was trying to create more gathering opportunities for music and so on. There were some really grand ideas, like even a stadium seating type stairwell that spread out and it could host concerts down at the base in the park. But I mean, realistically, we're not going to be able to get that far, but my preference would be let's forward see to the Planning Commission as a concept, ask the Rec and Parks Commission to also take a brief look at it and see if they have any additional ideas and work that route. And I think that will help us get this project completed, and it'll be a great addition to the community. I think it'll satisfy a lot of those needs that we've talked about for a long time.
Any more input, George?
Yes. I disagree about sending this over to the Planning Commission saying, hey, this is what we want. So we're pretty much telling them, say, this is what we want. We want you to rubber stamp this. I kind of now going back to what Nancy was bringing up. I think that we ought to bring this the Planning Commission into this, like it's like you say, it's their job, and they should have more than just say, okay, we're going to send C over there, Planning Commission, look at C, and that's what we're sending you. You can fiddle around with it, but this is pretty much what we want, and maybe B is the answer. I mean, I like A, but maybe B is the answer. It still brings you all the things you were talking about here.
About $500,000 difference.
It just gives us a nice look. This look just doesn't seem to get it with me. And I think we should send more than just one over. I agree with Nancy right now. I think about just send this over to them, let them sort it out, see what they think. I mean, why we don't want to make a hasty decision in this thing. This is very important. This is, like I say, this is going to really be something great for Morro Bay if we do it right. So let's get it right.
Thanks, George. Christine, did you have some comments?
Briefly, I'm wondering, the designs we've seen so far, who is taking... Who's bearing the cost for those?
The buyer.
Okay. So then you can see that the third option is not as refined as the first
Correct.
Two, because it must have been something that he realized
it's the only
cost.
Been the last couple of months, right, and he wanted to see if that was where you wanted to go with it or not, or you were willing to pay the extra money. And that's, if you send it to Planning Commission, you have to realize that they won't take into the cost implications of it. So are you
right.
saying to
right.
them that
exactly.
it doesn't matter if we have to spend an extra
that's
half a million
I'm,
dollars?
Right. And that's I think, the
And
the
certainly
point.
Planning Commission can look at these other little things. And I was wrong there. If you actually look at the mid-level, it actually does not come out right at the bottom of the staircase. This would be. So it might be able to be pushed more towards the middle. The other thing is can you orientate it? It's now the square goes this way, so could you rotate the square going the other way and maybe it opens up, you know, differently, and this area isn't all plants. I mean, there is a lot you can fool with three. What you're basically sending the message on three is as though you do want to preserve the centennial staircase, and that's what he was trying to do with that. But there's certainly tweaks you could make to it under three. But the question is if you're sending and planning all three of them, are you giving the direction that you don't care what the cost is?
Well, what I'm concerned about doing is then getting a recommendation back from the Planning Commission that they like one, and then we can't afford it.
Yeah, and if we send, basically we're going to be sending what we have here to the Planning Commission. We're not going to get any more refinement on these, correct? I mean, at some point we have to have detailed work on where we're going
with
this.
If it's three, I think staff will then, it will go to capital projects, and staff would work at getting better drawings, showing cross sections, so that the application is much more refined. And you know, Rob and planning hasn't even looked at this and structurally how it would work. And so then when it's committed, then it would go to planning, or maybe rec would have changes to it, like I just mentioned, little changes and tweaks. But it would be much more refined before it even got to Planning Commission, because this is kind of a little difficult to vision without the cross section. If you want me to tell them to do that before it goes to them, and you want to see the cross section on,
or if the city wants to be, you know, partner with this to, as George said, you know, make this right. So, you know, I still think we have a little bit of discussion on how we want to get clear direction on this, and I think cost is one, and then the other is any of the changes in details. And I'll just say one of my suggestions would be to move the elevator more towards the center. So I'll turn it back. Nancy, I know you're ready to comment some more.
Well, no, I'd like to finish commenting. But, you know, when we talk about cost up here, so often we talk about getting grants for a bridge, grants for our wastewater treatment plant. Oh, I'm sorry, it's something else now. Grants for this, grants for that. I think if we turn this over to the Planning Commission, indicating that there are cost differences and we as the city can't afford to pay those, maybe there's a grant someplace to pay for a funicular. And I think if we cut the Planning Commission out of the opportunity to look at all three of these options, I think we're making a serious mistake. I still would like to see them look at all options. That's their job.
Anybody else for comments? I'd
like one more comment. And we always are bringing things up to the public, you know, workshops, everything. Why wasn't this presented to the public? I mean, why didn't we have a meeting with the public and say, what did they want? It's their money. It's going to be their idea. It could be their idea, I mean. So why wasn't that brought up? I mean, it seems like everything is done.
I think to respond to that is this project itself had been approved last year, and this was prompted by saying, hey, what's the status of the Centennial Stairway? So it was brought back for us. And if we want to make it go to a workshop, clearly we can do that if that's the way we want to direct the process. But it hasn't been circumvented to the public by any means. It had been sitting out there kind of dormant, if you will, until we were asked, hey, bring this back. Let's look at this and see where we want to go. And, oh, by the way, the proposal that we have before us now is different than the two proposals that past council approved in November. So there are some differences we're looking at tonight. And if that's the way we want to go, Planning Commission, obviously the Planning Commission could be noticed this, and they can hold a public workshop and do that as well. Those are the options. Christine, you had something.
Well, I think that we all have enthusiasm for the most amazing project to connect our two important parts of town as possible. And I appreciate and can relate to that enthusiasm. Part of me, though, thinks about what we're going to be doing tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, which is having our second budget hearing, and the reality of that is setting in. And then in addition, it seems to me we have some enormous challenges in Morro Bay dealing with infrastructure, our equipment, what's happening with some of our PERS costs. I look at this as a gift or a good negotiation for a piece of property sold over 3 or 4 years ago. Well, 2009, 2010, the property was sold. It's been redeveloped. It's a property that's bringing in revenue. I think that the enhancements that will come for the city to have more mobility through the use of an elevator, and at the same time, if we can have some costs to update our centennial staircase, I think we need to realistically put facts before emotion and enthusiasm and move forward tonight to send this Plan C to the Planning Commission. I'm sure they will be updated as to the discussion the council had. I see no reason not to send them the entire document and have them look at the funicular and the two projects. But the reality is if it comes back to this council in the next 6 months or 8 months, we're still going to face the budgetary constraints we face. Unless out there this enthusiasm is motivating someone to come and come up and donate the $1.2 million or what it would take to do the funicular, which then I would change my tune and say, welcome donor. Until then, I just feel like we should move it on and let's start having the ability to transport people up and down a steep hill, which really there's no easy way to walk to the Embarcadero or up to Old Town from the Embarcadero. They're all very steep hills. So it's difficult for many of our guests who are retirees, families. It's hard to get your whole crew up the hill. If we have an elevator, it gives us a great option, and we retain something that is special and has incredible views from the staircase. So I look at it as a win-win. Let's move forward and see if we can get the project started. That's all I have to say at this point.
Okay. So, taking notes, back to Nancy, you were saying the same thing. Send it forward to the Planning Commission. And that's what we have, I think, the whole thing. So I think the idea is, from what I'm hearing, is we can send this on to the Planning Commission. All three seems to be the agreement on that. I think the emphasis should be exhibits.
And I remember some wonderful things from it, the arch and some other things at the top of the staircase. Yet I want this to move forward badly enough that I'm not sure we want to add that to it. I think if we look at this project and get it moving, maybe we could come back another time and talk about the downtown visioning report.
I have one other thing to add. As we were saying, send this thing forward, and I know your comments on the downtown visioning. The other, I think unless I hear some opposition, I think we should try to move the elevator more towards the center. And then backing up to Nancy, you made some comments on grants, and Mr. Livick and I talked earlier this year. I know Caltrans had a slew of grant opportunities that we'll see open up again this coming fiscal year, probably open back up, I think, around January. And there were, when I look at the Centennial Stairway, this was an ideal opportunity for some of the grant opportunities there. So really, as we're moving forward with this, and we could, if we keep our eye on that, we might be able to dovetail that into some grant opportunity as well, because I think, that is, as we've seen with the Harbor Walk, once you have the plans, it's a little bit easier to apply for that grant. So let's make a motion, and we want to send this staff report forward, basically exhibits A, B, and C, to the Planning Commission. Going back to exhibit C is our cost choice for the design. Look at moving the elevator out more towards the center, and I would say not bog it down with the downtown visioning, but there the elements within that plan. I would ask that we include that as part of this to look at. They're going to have one day to look at that, one meeting. So I would ask that we give that to them. And that would be my motion.
Second for discussion.
Discussion?
Yeah, I think your motion's pretty good getting in the direction we need to go, although I'm really cautious about starting to micromanage in the sense of moving the elevator out to the center. I would prefer to send a general message that we'd like to see the views and the viewshed opportunity expanded or featured as much as possible and allow that principle to guide the project rather than starting to
move it to the center.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Okay.
And then the other one I'd like to hear from the Planning Commission on and the public is if they're to evaluate or consider connection signage or some form of ability to communicate that the downtown is there from the Embarcadero and vice versa, and perhaps the visitor center, as well as the historical landmark signage.
So we don't micromanage it. Why don't we just leave it with connection signage?
I think that historical landmark is a really key part of what this project could help us with, though. So I'd back down on that.
Okay, all right. So we've got discussion, so this motion may be modified. Nancy, go ahead.
My only question is, are we leaving out Rec and Park in this motion, and do they want to look at it concurrently with Planning Commission?
I think this is so important that they all should look at it, you know. We should have some people put in with the downtown people and the people on the Embarcadero. Everybody should participate in this. I can't stress how important this is. This is going to be just a wonderful thing when we do this thing right.
Thanks, George. Christine?
I think it sounds like we have a lot of agreement I think the Rec and Park Commission could have really encourage the community to come out and speak to this at a Rec and Park Commission meeting, perhaps. And that I would like to see, if, in addition, that we to specifically pull out the sections in the downtown visioning. It really should be the Old Town Visioning. I think that is the official name. But we'll go with what's written. Pulling out the elements that specifically deal with this area. And I'm looking at the table contents now, and that would be a few that would come out of the larger report that would be specifically talking about that area, and then give those to the Rec and Parks Commission and the Planning Commission, and then have the public also weigh in. So I don't know how we want to do it, but...
So my motion will have to be amended.
Okay.
And I know that, Noah, you can repeat the way, because I'm going to write this down. We're going to... in fact, I'm going to withdraw my motion. And then we'll go ahead and we'll go ahead and document that highlights just that Centennial Stairway feature as added features to discuss. That's my motion.
Second.
Kennett.
Second. Discussion.
Mr. Levick has a comment.
When you're saying this about the Centennial Stairway, are you saying that they have to leave them in there? Is this what you're saying? I missed that.
Leaving it the Centennial Stairway?
Yes.
I think it's just right now, it's just the design. The Centennial Stairway name doesn't have anything to do with that. That'll probably stay,
okay.
If that's your concern.
In other words, you're not saying that it has to stay in your
No. I'm okay. Just saying this is just has to do with the design.
Okay.
And I'll turn it over to Mr. Livett because he has some interjection that might help us on our motion.
I just need a little bit of clarification of what's going to Planning Commission. They're not going to be wearing their quasi-judicial hat in approving a project. They're going to be wearing their planner's hat in helping the community decide what kind of project move forward to give direction to an applicant to formalize a design that then gets submitted for approval, because at this point there's really nothing that can be approved.
That's correct. That's correct. And the other part of that equation, as Mr. Schultz was saying, was, hey, some of these will actually go back and be refined before they go to the Planning Commission. But that's not the way you're laying it out.
What I'm thinking is the Planning Commission it's going to come to Planning Commission more than once.
Yes.
They're going to
give recommendations for the design itself to the city council and the applicant, then the applicant's going to come back with a developed design, submit for a project, and go through the permitting process for their project.
Perfect.
Is the way I, is it's what I have in my head.
Perfect.
Okay.
That's what I thought, too.
Okay.
The only change to the motion, too, is when you said to send it to Planning Commission A, B, and C. What I'd like that motion to also include is to direct staff to tell the buyer to refine C even before it goes to show those cross-sections and better develop that before it even goes to planning the first time. Because just as I've reviewed this plan a million times, and when I look at it, I don't understand where it empties out on the ground
yeah.
floor. You're going to be underneath the staircase. And so it doesn't work for me on the ground floor. But maybe I'm just misreading it. So I think that's important
yeah.
in the motion is also to redevelop that so that they can see it better.
I would amend my motion to include the refinements as specified by Mr. Livick. Do I have a second on that?
I do. The other thing I want to ensure is that we're leaving the door open to Mr. Schultz to also negotiate regarding the improvements to the Centennial Stairway as well as a component potentially.
Okay.
Call the question.
Christine has one more question.
Does the motion include the Rec and Parks Commission?
I'm sorry.
A visit
it
to
did.
The
it did.
Okay,
it
so
did.
To make sure.
It did. Okay. I think we'll call the question.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Thank you.
I guess we need a break now.
We'll take a short break and we'll come back in 5 minutes. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We are moving on to new business, and we have got item D1, which is consideration of joint development project proposed for lease sites 86 and 86W on the Embarcadero. This would be the Caldwell and League lease site. And before we open the meeting.
Yes, I have to excuse myself because I'm a League.
Thank you, George. Thank you. And with that, I'll turn it over to Eric Andersby for the staff report.
Thank you, and good evening, Mayor and Council. As you know, this is a continuation of some activity that began last fall on this lease site. It's consideration of a joint redevelopment project proposed for lease sites 86-86W, which is 801 Embarcadero LLC, Burt Caldwell, and 87-88W Vide League, adjacent next door to the north side. 86 is a 50-year Pipkin lease. It expires in 2018. Lease site 87-88 is an older city lease that expires in 2018 as well. Getting hotel use shared, one restaurant use, and instead of each lease site being an individual, potential restaurant and retail and hotel, they decided to combine forces and propose it as a joint project. So tonight, what we're really looking for is, which path to go down into the future here. As we move forward on whatever path we do go, we'll revise those proposals and vet things as we move forward into lease negotiations and planning submittals, Coastal Commission, and what have you. But again, tonight's really just a first step, thumbs up, thumbs down, and do we want to go forward with this proposal? And if not, which direction do we want to go? The three alternatives that we presented, alternative A is accept the joint project as proposed. Alternative B is reject the joint project and redirect the individual leaseholders to come back with submittals on their own, or send the whole kit and caboodle out for requests for proposals on both sides, or one or both. You have the project narrative from the lease site proposers, as well as some maps, an overview, and a Google Map scenario or a format, and your staff report as well that gives a lot more detail. I'm happy to answer any questions. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Endersby. I think at this point we could open it up. We do have an applicant here that is going to present, Ms. Novak. We'll set the timer for you. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Irons and council members. My name is Kathy Novak, and I'm here tonight representing Burt Caldwell and Violet League for their proposal at 801 and 833 Embarcadero Road. Before I begin, I'd like to thank staff for their time and effort on this project. For my presentation tonight, I'd like to cover the following things. One is a brief history. Two is address the particular concerns in regards to alternative A proposal. Three would be the proposed project highlights. And four, and last, is to be addressed alternative B from the staff report. As staff has mentioned, the city sent out a letter in September 2012 to both leaseholders informing them that the council directed staff to negotiate new leases with the current owners and to submit a preliminary concept plan and drawings for further review and consideration. Furthermore, it has been under the understanding of the two leaseholders that the city was most interested in combining these two lease sites and receiving development plans as one project. In response, the two leaseholders got together and designed a joint project that could operate independently, however, to provide the maximum benefit to visitor-serving uses for the city and also for them. A brief overview and presentation on this concept was given to the council in February. However, this concept was not discussed or any action that was taken. Since that time, staff has raised a concern with respect to the scope of a partnership, the operations, and separate lease site ownership. So before I get started in the project highlights, I would just like to go over this issue. The leaseholders had originally planned to form an LLC or another business entity for the purpose of submitting a project as one applicant and in the future would have retained their own lease site. However, it has become clear that in order to make this project workable, an LLC or something similar would be necessary for now and also in the future for ownership of both lease sites. Taking this approach would also require that the city consolidate both lease sites into one master lease. As a side note, details such as the equity ownership and other arrangements would be defined in an LLC or equivalent. Now that I've covered this part, I'd like to present some of the development considerations and the plan highlights that are part of this proposal this evening. First, there were several items that were taken into consideration, and they are, one, that Violet had a previous plan that was used as a stepping stone for this new design. Two, that there was recognition that two restaurants were most likely not in the best interest of both sites. Three, the design should focus on the visitor-serving uses. Four, there are limitations for feasible uses on the second floor. Five, how to maximize the lease space with required view corridors and other city standards such as an 8-foot sidewalk and harbor walk. Six, constructing docks. And seven, the overall construction. Since this is only a pre-concept presentation to receive comments and direction from council as to which of the alternatives that you would like to have the leaseholders pursue, I would just like to highlight some major plan points. They are, the proposed project is designed with both retail and hotel units. The building known as 833, which is now off the hook, will be moved easterly approximately 16 feet. This will allow the construction of the harbor walk across both lease sites in a straight line, and also for a continuous single side tide dock across both lease sites. The docks will have one shared gangway. The sidewalk along the Embarcadero will be enlarged to 8 feet, which will provide one main entry from the Embarcadero, which will be inviting to hotel patrons and also provide for at least two entry points into the retail shops. The existing restaurant at 833 Embarcadero would be smaller in order to function properly, and the existing restaurant at 801 Embarcadero would be removed. The other design benefits for this project include public restrooms, an elevator, hotel lobby, and easy hotel guest access to the restaurant. Lastly, I'd like to provide a comment on alternative B in your staff report, which is to reject the joint proposal. And thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And just a second, I'll bring that back to council. And at this point, we can have turn it over to questions for Eric or the applicant. I'll start over to my left. Christine, do you have any questions?
Questions? I asked a lot of questions earlier with staff, so at this point, no questions.
Turn my right. Nancy?
I have no questions. I've done my research, and I'm ready to move forward.
Noah?
Yeah, thank you. I've also done my research, but I do have a couple of questions for Ms. Novak, if you don't mind.
Ms. Novak, which opens it up for public comment.
Thank you. Thanks, Ms. Novak. couple of questions. So I just want to confirm, and you did say that again at the end of the presentation, but at this point you'd be willing to go forward, or the applicants would be willing to go forward, either developing a joint LLC and proposed project or bringing back two separate projects individually.
Yes.
I just want to make sure I heard that.
Okay. Yes.
And in both of those scenarios, would you feel that there would be the opportunity to share some costs, as you highlighted, with the joint gangway, say, for the docks? In either scenario, would you think that would be possible?
I think there's a lot of things that are possible. If that's something that you'd like for both applicants to consider, we can sure take that message back to them and ask them about that. There is, of course, if you're building one long dock, it's always much better construction-wise to be able to work together on that. So the city would have to make sure that we would cover any of that joint access in a master lease, so that there is, when there's two lease sites are connected together and using one access, there would have to be an access piece in the master lease.
Okay. I bring that up because I assume that that would help the applicants in the affordability of the project, to make sure that we maximize those amenities and share those costs when possible.
Sure, when possible, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. And that would, I know we do have one other person in the audience that would open up for public comment if anybody wanted to comment on this. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to council. And just to be clear, so that is the option for the applicant would be to combine to an LLC and to one lease site is the option that we're as proposed.
No, we have B.
Oh, Kathy, can you come back, please? Thank you. So earlier you said it would be advantageous to actually combine to an, even though it was proposed as two separate joint projects, but one big project, to go into one LLC and then combine one site under that LLC.
Right. You're correct. The first proposal was that we would build the two separate buildings, but there would be a joint use, like with the elevator and the stairs and some things like that within the project, and each Bert would retain his lease site and Vi would retain her lease site. Well, after we started discussing this more with staff brought up the concern about how does the city handle the leasing to, if an LLC is the one applicant for the project, how does the city lease to the two separate people afterwards? So in order to answer that question for staff, well, I had talked to both Bert and Vi, and they thought it would be better to form one LLC to be an applicant for the project, and then also in the future when it comes time for leasing, you would combine both lease sites, and then the LLC would be the leasee with the city.
Okay, thanks. And I have one question for Mr. Endersby. Eric, on combining lease sites, and as it was stated, that's, you know, the city's desires to combine lease sites. Can you talk a little bit more about that in our lease policy? Is that something that's in that lease policy that says, hey, in the future, any opportunity we can, we're going to move towards that? You know, is this something from past council that has directed, hey, let's combine lease sites as we move forward? Where are we going from there?
As far as the lease management policy goes, it's not a do-all, be-all, you know, thou shalt combine every time it's an opportunity to do so. It's case by case, depending on the site and the leaseholders and the history and how you got there. So I think the lease management policy does allow for the flexibility for council to go either direction, and that's kind of, you know, why we're here and what we're considering. Do we want to go that direction, or do we want to go individual? And again, it's real case by case, and we've combined some in the past to some degrees of success, and some of them been kept separate. But while the opportunity is there, that's the time to address it.
Okay, thanks for that. Christine, you had questions?
I did have a question that came to mind after the discussion. So in the remarks from Ms. Novak, she specifically mentioned that past council direction prior to this council was to the joint lease site combination was or was not, whether the applicants were given that idea or not. But it sounds like Mr. Endersby is saying that didn't necessarily come.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they gathered that from, you know, maybe reading between the lines, but they were not directed you know, thou shalt do a joint proposal. That's what we want to see. It sounds like they came up with that, you know, just like say reading between the lines and talking to staff, and that's what they thought would be most plausible.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for clarification.
So if we were looking at our alternatives, alternative A would be a joint project with an LLC that would be combining the lease sites into one lease site.
Correct. Although in my staff report, the initial proposal was for the applicants where they were going to retain individual ownership of their lease sites and then have an LLC that overrode the joint ownership and construction aspect of the building and the physical property. They've since revised that. And as Ms. Novak said, you know, talking to us and our concerns and our biggest question was how is this going to work with these separate lease sites yet joint ownership, and they've since looked at that and revised their plan and come up with let's have an LLC own the total of the lease sites, which is after I had written the staff report and that information has gotten to you, so it's a little different than how it reads in the staff report.
Noah?
Yes, thank you. I want to build on that point and talk a little bit about the financing scenario in either of those options to see if either the applicants or our staff has a feeling about which one of those scenarios positions the project or projects in a stronger financial situation to actually complete the project. If there is a clear improvement or superior direction there.
At this point, I don't think staff could make that determination one way or another, whether going individually or going together financially made more sense one way or another, just because we haven't done or requested, you know, financial statements and whatnot from the applicants.
And we haven't seen that breakdown in cost, but the project in front of you certainly is an ambitious project, which costs, you know, I would imagine are more than if there were two projects that retain their current buildings and were more improvements than as opposed to this isn't a complete demolition, but it's pretty close. I mean, I think there's a couple of walls that are remaining or some of it, but it's an ambitious project as opposed to I think it would be a less financial challenge if they were kept separate in like I said, more of an improvement projects.
If I could follow up on that, and if you're comfortable in doing just a very brief review of the integrity of both sites currently, just as far as, you know, if there are any real key upgrades that are necessary or what condition both sites are in, just to help us understand that.
I mean, both sites, one of obviously our key goals is the sidewalk is very narrow on both, so that's the key with any project has to be redone to move the both walls on the beginning of the building. So on the Embarcadero Grill, we've been told that where the restaurant sits is in fairly good shape building. It's the front building, which is an old Army barrack or Navy barrack back when, so that building is the one that's in pretty bad shape. And then same kind of for the outrigger or the off the hook, the restaurant is in good shape, but I think it's the front buildings on both of those would be where major remodeling would be done if they want separate projects.
And would you actually, it sounds like applicant would like to respond to that as well, and then I'll ask my next question.
Sorry, but it's actually okay. Just the opposite on both lease sites. The front, where the Vi-League's, the front building is in the better shape. It's a newer building. It's concrete, where the restaurant in the back is not quite as good. And then it's the opposite on the next lease site.
Okay. Thank you. And would you see the opportunity working within that thought to do the Harbor Walk extension and connection and still be able to retain the quality sections of with good integrity for the structure?
Well, yeah, I mean, regardless, whatever project, if they're separate or together, that's I think our first way we start out is we're looking for the boardwalk that has to be included, and we're looking for that front walkway being the 8 to 10 feet.
Thanks. Those are my questions.
Bring that back. Any other?
And then because I do have the lease management policy on there and that language about consolidation. It is vague, but it does say lease expiration dates should be encouraged to coincide where adjoining sites may have mutual planning benefits In some cases, cities should not renew a lease either for the purpose of consolidating sites or to pursue other extenuating.
What would need to be completely renovated? Obviously, going with some of the improvements like we've suggested with the boardwalk and the front sidewalk, and looking at potentially some mutually beneficial planning opportunities. That would be really a nice thing to see if the applicants can work out some things to help them both leverage the costs of the project. So I'm inclined to go that way. I think it would be less of a shakeup for that area, and overall I think it would be the most affordable option for both of them.
Nancy?
I agree, Noah. I very strongly believe in option B, and I'll tell you why. I did my research with leaseholders down there and some observation of larger leases. And I think keeping these two as two smaller leases under the control of the leaseholders is going to be a real advantage. Because if you look at our largest leases, just a couple of examples, the boatyard has a terrible time maintaining their subleases. Their people are moving in and out. It's really not conducive to tourism down there. The other one that has terrible problems is Marina Square. They're huge. They almost always have openings. And I think they have more grass growing up in their gutters than I have in my front yard. The maintenance is not good when you get something that big. I think if you keep it smaller and under the control of the leaseholder, I mean, you can look at a really good example down in Anderson's. They redid their lease. They kept control. You know, they lease out the restaurant now. But it's small, and it's controllable, and it looks good, and they don't have a lot of vacancies like some of these great big things we have.
Thanks, Nancy. Christine?
Thank you. I did some. I asked for some historical precedents from staff about combination and separation, and just for, I think, the public who's viewing this and wondering what we're doing and how this relates to what we've been doing. So it turns out that we have had at least two, I'll mention right here, that are something we could look at as something that's been done in the past as a precedent. So the first one would be the Marina Square project that I believe Nancy was just speaking of, where they were two lease sites, and correct me if I'm wrong, staff, two separate lease sites that were combined. They were combined under one owner, one LLC. So we have done that. And then this most recent one that's still in process, I believe, is it doesn't really have a name yet. That maybe it does, and I'm just not recalling it. But it's lease site 67 and 67W, which is owned by the Inez Voile family, and then also 68W, which is 591 Embarcadero LLC, which folks may know as the Held Family Project. So that is, in some ways, a joint project. There were shared costs with architect and shared costs with some construction. Should they have shared construction costs worked in a shared common middle area where that was described to me as shared hardscape and shared landscape in a driveway area? But it didn't appear to me that they were sharing one reception or one elevator or one staircase. So it's not quite as involved as what this proposal came to us tonight previously. So there is precedent for us doing combinations and joint projects. So this wouldn't be something we haven't done before. That being said, I do appreciate the leaseholders' review of their individual hopes for the property. And I would simply add that I actually love the mix we have right now. I think it's great as somebody who walks around and, like all of us, goes down there and maybe does a little shopping, do a little eating. And I think it's great to go from a large property like Marina Square, which is really aesthetically very beautiful as far as for such a large building. I find it architecturally pleasing because it's mixed in with our quirkiness that we still retain on many of the other lease sites. So what I would hope to see is that quirkiness retained, just having it upgraded so it's safe and people don't fall through, you know, some, you know, something that's an aging building. And it's great to be able to expand the boardwalk and to have a sidewalk where you can walk 2x2. But I think for me what's really important is not necessarily pointing out what's wrong with some of the past decisions that were made by past councils, but to focus on what we have there now and how to enhance what is attractive to us as residents and then what attracts visitors to come back once and then come back two and three times.
It's rebuilding. You know, hopefully we'll see Marina Square, you know, and the rest of the lease sites start, you know, becoming more attended, and we and all the subleases filled up. But with this particular project, I think for tonight, what seems like we're agreeing on is basically alternative B, and being a separate project. Any other comments?
Yeah, I just want to take the opportunity here because the applicant did ask, and I think it's one of the benefits of having this process so that we get the chance to mention things that are important to keep in mind from individuals' perspectives is I definitely do like the idea with the projects that come forward that they do explore the mutual planning benefits and public benefits once the project's been developed. And I would consider those to include a public restroom. I think that's a really nice feature. And definitely working to enhance the view corridors, whether it's when you're on the lease side or from upper the Centennial Staircase area. And overall, I thought there were some interesting components to the plan that we did see. But one thing that stood out to me that I wasn't ready to accept was hotel. If there is a hotel component, that the hotel room on the bottom floor, I felt like that was a force there. And the other thing I think is important to recognize is to temper the size, if there is any expansion of a second floor in upcoming proposals, to really look closely at what the Coastal Commission's comments were on the previous projects and their reluctance to approve large second floor components. And the third is not very large, but a bicycle parking area would be appreciated. So sorry, I have to throw that in there.
All right.
But I'm ready to make a motion if there aren't any other comments.
Go for it.
Ready?
Go ahead.
Okay. I would move that we direct the applicants and staff to work on alternative B, which is to resubmit separate proposals for the respective lease sites. And I would add that we encourage them to consider mutual planning benefits and public use opportunities as they see fit.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Great. Good job.
Oh, here he comes. That was fast, George. You like that one, huh?
No, I wasn't hitting you, Noah.
Keep going.
All right, welcome back, George. Okay, that brings us to item D3. Mr. Livick, so we are on the status report on amendments to the zoning ordinance, Title 17, as it relates to secondary units and the North Main Street commercial area and the antennas and wireless telecommunication.
And as you said, this is a continuation from the last item, and Kathleen Wald is going to take care of the presentation on this.
Thank
item.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wald.
Good evening. I'm just going to give a really brief report. I think we've all seen these items a couple of times, or maybe not, as the case may be. But staff was requested to bring back a status report on the amendments, as stated previously, which would be on the North Main Street commercial parking area, secondary residential units, and the antennas and wireless telecommunication facilities. In the packet before you tonight, I gave you what I thought was the appropriate background material on each ordinance, and minutes from those. And in reviewing the minutes from each project, staff determined that there really was no controversy or no members of the public spoke in opposition or for the wireless and Main Street parking amendment. And so we tended to focus mostly on the ordinance concerning the secondary residential units. And we excerpt the minutes and put them in your staff report for you so you could see what controversy or what opinions were expressed during that meeting. And with that, we would just recommend that you review the materials in the packet and provide direction on how we'd like staff to proceed. And I know since some of these have been in process for a number for a while, as I believe staff's been directed previously, we've given you a time of we would prepare a staff report or an application, I'm sorry, to the Coastal Commission, and we had originally put in here 2 weeks, which would have been from the previous council meeting. So today's the 11th, so we probably wouldn't make June 14th at this point, but if you feel free to...
Secondary unit ordinance, the North Main Street commercial area parking was went through... somewhat quietly, I would say, but with that, I would turn it over to discussion and questions for the rest of council and see where we want to go with this. To my left, Christine.
It's just a point of order. I wonder if, since two out of three may not require much discussion, it may be, is there any way to pull those two out and approve those and then come back to the third, or is it easier to just do the whole thing?
Certainly.
Break it up into multiple motions and discuss them in any order which you desired to do, and make, as I said, multiple motions on the variety. You know, it might you might even do it in three motions to handle them one at a time to make sure that, you know, there is no question about, you know, it seems pretty clear on the wireless we're complying with federal regulations. The North Main maybe a little bit have different issues, and then the secondary unit probably has the most issues with it.
Okay. So with that, if we, per that, we can go ahead and make a motion to, if we wanted to just clean this up, you know, approve the antennas and wireless one and send that forward, if we so made a motion?
Yes.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so we have a second and a, or a motion and a second to approve the antennas and wireless amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Now we get on to, let's discuss the North Main Street commercial area, and I'll turn it back. That was a great suggestion. Christine, you want to continue with your comments?
I don't at this point on that one.
Okay. George, anything?
I've been through this before.
Nancy?
I think that one was something that we did in conjunction with Ms. Wald as a plan to help commercial businesses in North Main. They still are struggling, and there seems to be no parking issues up there, so we just eliminated them. And I think it was a good idea, and I think it should continue.
Noah?
Thank you. I'm in favor of moving forward on this as well. I would say, to temper that just a little bit, that we do have the potential for some parking issues up there. But given that this concept is working within the existing footprint of buildings and outside of any major change in the zoning and use, I think we would. This is an excellent way to avoid exacerbating or creating new parking scenarios that spill out into the neighborhood and so on. But I did want to give staff the chance to, if you, in the time that we've had since this was first brought forward to now, are there any things that you're thinking that we should consider at this moment before we move forward that would strengthen it, or adjustments that would make it better? I don't expect so, but if you had thought of something, that this would be an excellent time.
No, I think it's pretty simple, the way we kind of constrained where no no additional parking would be required, basically no change in the building square footage, no additional. It just allows for those changes in uses that evolve over time in that commercial area and not having to require that additional parking.
Great. So that said, I will move to approve section 17.44.020.1, the North Main Street commercial area parking.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? I have a question for Mr. Livick as we go into this. As far as the North Main Street, the only thing that, since you kind of got going on the motion, I'm going to ask this anyway. that's okay. I didn't want to interrupt you. Quick question. So, you know, in our housing element, you know, in our housing element, it refers to neighborhood compatibility, and actually it states that we're committed to establishing a program for neighborhood compatibility, which we've never done. And, you know, I think about that as we address or as we amend an area that could be impacting neighbors, because that North Main Street, you know, it shoulders up against commercial and residential through that whole section. So that's the only concern I have with this. And as long as, you know, we can address that neighborhood compatibility, which I'm hoping for in our general plan update, then we could go forward with this. But I think that's something that we should be keeping an eye on, because, you know, it's been historically, since I've been here anyway, it's been an ongoing topic of neighborhood compatibility, but we've never really been able to pull that off. So, you know, I think about as we allow different parking arrangements.
Some changes to the secondary residential unit code, but evidently was never taken through to Coastal Commission. So we've been operating, because obviously state law supersedes ours, but the text actually, and that's what's codified, still has some things that need to be cleaned up. So to answer your question, we do operate in compliance with state law, but there it would be practical for us to take through and fix the things so that our matrix is still show that we need a use permit under state law. You can't do that, and so staff just knows that, and we make sure that we don't require that of anybody, but it'd be nice to have that cleanup.
Okay, and then just a follow-up question is, and there was a lot of discussion about square foot, 900 mm-hmm. square feet versus 1,200 or somewhere in the middle. And if you could just, is there any kind of state law that requires Morro Bay to designate a particular size?
Well, the state law allows us to, and I think that's what makes it unique for each community. It provides that you have to provide a certain square footage, a secondary residential unit by right, but allows communities to control them from getting overly large by setting a whatever limit that community feels is appropriate. That after a certain size, then it requires a use permit, and then there are findings that you would make, such as neighborhood compatibility. So in our community, it's 900 square feet. We also have the other restriction that the second unit needs to be 50%, or cannot be larger than 50% of the main unit, so it keeps it ancillary and subordinate to a primary unit. So we are allowed to do that under state law. You are allowed to have those restrictions, and so that's what we have right now. And I think the second unit that was some of the changes that were proposed were specifically along those lines to change that.
Okay, thank you. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thanks. Nancy? Noah?
Yes, thank you. If you wouldn't mind, staff, reviewing a little bit what brought us to, as far as public involvement, I spoke to this last time it came to the previous council, but what was the process to get to the former secondary unit ordinance and regulations and the public comment and involvement component?
Well, I wasn't here. Rob might have been here at that time, but maybe he can speak to that a little bit.
We had quite a bit of involvement in the very first one when we were on what the size of the square footage should be and other requirements. We'd have to go back through the history, but I do remember we had quite a bit of input the first time. Not quite as much the second time when we increased it back. But the first time there was quite a bit of involvement. I think it was about the same time when we were doing the view shed ordinance and looking at that. So there's a lot of people looking at mansionization and this issue and that. So there was quite a bit of involvement from the first time when we came up with the exact amount. And then when we increased it, not quite as much is how I remember it.
That's the way I remember it as well. And then along the lines of the previous ordinance and the components there, just to confirm, the conditional use permit requirement is not legal. So that would be one difference?
No, you can have a conditional use permit requirement like we have for 900 square feet or more, as long as there is a unit that's provided for by right. So you couldn't, the state law wanted to remove any impediments from people being able to do secondary residential units, but a community can still limit the size.
Okay.
So we've chosen to allow them by right up to 900 square feet, which is legal, and then after 900 square feet by conditional use permit. So, you know, some communities just limit them outright, you know, no bigger than 900 square feet. We're giving them the option of by right and then larger if the lot, let's just say that the lot's larger and, you know, that's acceptable. That's why with a use permit, it's a little bit higher discretionary review. And so, yes, you're allowed to do that, just as long as you're not requiring it for everyone.
Okay. And my last question would be, if we were to revert to the previous ordinance, mm-hmm. Would you have any serious concerns with how that was structured?
Mm-mm.
Things that we would need to clean up within that.
No, I mean there's just you know, it needs, the ordinance itself needs to be cleaned up. You know, the conditional use needs to be taken off the matrix and just general things. It was very, the way it was done back in 2008 was fine. It just wasn't completed all the way through the process.
Okay.
No concerns about staff actually hasn't had any.
That particular ordinance, then there's the original secondary unit ordinance that was supposedly reverted back to. This sounds kind of complex, but I do remember that, you know, at some point it was like, oh, well, this second ordinance has never been certified, and so we should revert back to the one that was. So which one is in effect right now? The second one or the first one, the one that's certified?
I hate to say this, but sort of a modified version of what the first one would be for saying 1, 2, and 3, because we have to make changes for whatever state is dictated to us. You know, you're not allowed to keep an ordinance in effect that's in violation of state law. So state law says you cannot require a use permit. You have to provide some type of secondary unit by right, and so we're not charging use permits for second. I mean, we're just not allowed to do that. So we, you know, we had to modify it for where it's inconsistent with state law.
And how many applications have we had for secondary unit ordinances in the last couple years?
Of units, secondary units?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the exact amount.
I thought we should have prepped you with that.
I know.
Sorry about that.
But we get them. I mean, we're working on some right now. We get them fairly often. You know, what would you say, Rob? Like 2 or 3 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people are often inquiring about them and. We try to work with people the best we can, given the circumstances of what the particular situation is, to overcome any obstacles. I know one of the concerns that we had with the second unit is this prohibition from having parking in the front yard setback, even though if you're a regular house, you can have your driveway and park your car in your driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that is kind of... doesn't have really any value to it, and that would be one of the things that if you're interested in. I mean, if the only thing that's going to prohibit you from having a second unit is the fact that you can't provide parking outside the front yard setback or the exterior street side yard,
mm-hmm.
then I think that's kind of frivolous. I think that's one of the things that we should change, because if people are trying to get these affordable units and sort of maximize utility out of the housing stock in Morro Bay, and, you know, and if everything is all good and you can actually provide it in the front yard setback, I think you should be able to do that. We have other code requirements that would prohibit you from having an extra wide driveway. I mean, you couldn't take your whole front yard up and driveway. There's things of that nature that are already in there. But I think that's the only thing that's that parking is the one thing that makes it hard. And I think maybe removing that might make it easier for people.
So going back to that number two ordinance, the one that's 900 square feet, if you want to go above that, it's a, you have to get a conditional use permit. That one there, as Noah was talking about, hey, is there any, which, what would be room for improvement? And what you're saying then is
that's it.
The parking, the parking within the front yard setback.
I think most people in Morro Bay, we see that all over the community. I don't think that's an aesthetic problem. It's just pretty routine that people park in the front yard. And a lot of parking is actually on the public right of way, you know, in different areas. So I don't think it's burdensome to remove that obstacle.
Okay, thank you. I would at this point, I know we haven't opened this up to public comment because we didn't have anybody here, and I closed public comment. So to open up public comment per our procedures requires support from council if we wanted to open it up for public comment since someone showed up. To would I have support to do that, or I have some support. I have three.
I'd support that. We've only asked questions so far.
I would open it up for public comment.
Not for Roger,
we're a friendly town.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that courtesy. My name is Roger Ewing, and I'm a public citizen of Morro Bay, and I feel you should hear at least from one member of the public on what I consider a very important issue. I have spoken against increasing the square footage of secondary units for as long as we've had the debate and the discussion. And the reason is because originally we had it at 600 feet. And then previous planning commissions and councils decided to raise it to 1,200 square feet. And that's where it stood for quite a while. And a perfect example of what happens to a neighborhood when you allow 1,200 square feet secondary units is a piece of property on Pacific, just west of Maine, I mean, cities around it, the neighborhood, and thus the whole community. If we want to maintain our quaintness, we need to start having a vision as to what that's going to be. And that's part of what makes Morro Bay unique, is that quaintness. But if we keep
that's a hard one.
Thank you. If we keep increasing development on pieces of property that should have only one unit, 1,200 square feet is bigger than the two-bedroom house I'm renting. That's not a secondary unit. That's a primary unit. Granny units, which is what this originally started as, were 600 maximum square feet. I don't think I could talk you into going in that direction, but I would hope that you do not rise above 900 square feet. Excuse me, I would prefer 700 to 750.
Thank you, Roger.
And thank you for letting me speak. I appreciate that. Good night and have a good meeting.
Thank you. With that, since there's nobody else out there, I'll close the public comment. Thanks, Council, for allowing that. And thanks for taking the time to come down. So bringing that back, I have just a follow-up and see exactly where we're at, because I'll put them into 1, 2, and 3, as you were saying. Number three ordinance is this amended version. Number two is the one we're operating on. It meets the legal requirements because it does allow for 1,200 square feet. There's really nothing else to that doesn't meet the state law on secondary units, as we discussed. The only thing that, in addition to what you were saying, was as far as allowing and kind of helping those secondary units develop would be the parking situation that's not allowed in that number two ordinance. Okay. That's all the questions I have. Part of the discussion, I think, for moving forward, I think it's pretty clear. It's in the staff report and the minutes. You know, I spoke out against the amendment, and in some ways, just because I think realistically there's nothing in there that would protect against could you have 1,200 square foot houses on an R1 home, and then considering you go into a R2 zone, which is a multi-unit zone areas, you have basically in effect we're making duplex homes out of our R1 neighborhoods, and I just didn't think that was in keeping with our town. And I think there were other people that felt the same way during this discussion and with the original workshop. I think that's why we came to the number two ordinance, which is the way we've labeled them, 1, 2, and 3. There was several days of workshops that took place. It was very thoughtful. It's actually a pretty thoughtful ordinance, and it does meet the law. You can build a 1,200-square-foot secondary unit if you have the conditional use permit. So I would move that the secondary unit that is as proposed or as amended, I would move that we don't forward it on for certification and take the ordinance that we have, that number two ordinance, and send it back to Planning Commission for review to address the issues that Ms. Wold stated over parking and parking and setbacks, and that we take that through our Planning Commission and in an open format, as it would be, whether it requires a workshop or just a regular hearing, as long as we get input on that. That'd be my motion on that. Is there any other discussion?
Well, I'll
Do I have a second on that?
I'll second that.
Okay. Discussion?
Yeah, my discussion, I agree with you completely. I think the effort that went into the public input in developing that second update, which, as was pointed out by Mr. Ewing, was really a compromise because it has expanded and increased the size, was something that we need to follow through with. And I think your suggestion to send to the Planning Commission the parking.
The facts are for the law and what we have to do to follow the law. And it sounds like there was at some point a lot of public input, and it sounds like the consensus is to go with the compromise number two ordinance. So if that's where that's going, then yeah, it would be probably amenable to going that direction as well, unless there's other discussion that's out there.
Nancy, any discussion? George, none? I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 3-2. That concludes item D3. Thank you for that. And now moving on to item D4. Approval of lease agreement between City of Moore Bay and Scott Meisterlin and the property located on 307 Moore Bay Boulevard for public restroom and open space area. Mr. Schultz.
1 second, please. Let me get to the page.
Sure.
$135. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The item in front of you tonight is approval of the lease agreement between the City of Morro Bay and Scott Meisterland for the property located at 307 Morro Bay Boulevard. Attached to the staff report is the lease agreement, which would allow the City of Morro Bay to use the property at 307 Morro Bay Boulevard for a public restroom and open space area. For a number of years, it's been the City Council's high priority and goal to obtain a public restroom in the downtown area. The property at the corner of Morro Bay Boulevard and Main Street had been previously rented out as a wine bar and most recently as Todd's Green Machine, which rented segues to the public. The property has been vacant for approximately a year. The building already has a handicap-approved bathroom within the and with slight modifications, it can be ready to be used for the public use. The city has negotiated the attached lease agreement. The lease is for 5 years with an option to extend it for an additional 5 years. The lease also has a clause that if the owner decides he wants to sell the property, the city has the right of first refusal to purchase that property. The annual rent amount is for...
$16,800.
It does have adjustments to rent that occur in 2016, and that would raise it from the the amount of rent for at the beginning is the amount of $1,400 per month, $16,800 per year. That would increase in 2016 to $1,600 per month and $19,200 per year. And then there's another kicker if we do exercise the option after 5 years. And other than that, the lease agreement is a pretty standard lease agreement with standard terms. And I'll turn it back to you for discussion.
Thank you for that. Just for the record and the audience, the viewing audience, we don't have anybody else out in the audience, so I won't open it up for public comment at this point. With that, I'll turn it back to council for any questions. Turn to my left. George?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Christine?
I may have missed it in the staff report, but we do have the ability to sublease the building?
Yes, we do.
And that could offset the cost?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks. Nancy?
We heard from a couple of business owners in that area who are very concerned about getting a public restroom. I think there's been a lot of talk about this, and I would like to see us move forward.
Thanks, Nancy. Noah?
Yeah, thank you. I just have a couple of questions for Mr. Schultz. One, on page 9 under the liability insurance, there is a requirement to provide the $1 million liability insurance. You foresee the city covering that for the subtenant?
It's a possibility. I mean, it will definitely fall under our insurance at no extra cost. And when we negotiate the sublease, it depends who that person is. And you know, we certainly want to transfer some of the risk to a subtenant for any of their negligence. So it's just how we would look at that situation, depending on who it is.
Great. That's what I was getting at, is making sure the risk was spread equally and fairly and not exposing us to anything that we don't need to be. If we get support tonight to go forward with this, who, because I've actually been approached by a couple of different businesses who are interested in subleasing, going forward for the public's knowledge, who would you see being the point of contact for someone to start to get some details about how they could submit a proposal?
I think it's part of your motion, if you're going to approve the lease, would also direct staff to seek proposals, and then the city manager would talk about it at the department head meeting as to who would prepare that proposal and who would be the responding party to. You know, could be Joe, it could be Rob, it could be me, it could be her. So I think that's part of what we want, is direction to seek those proposals and put together something very quickly and get it out, kind of the same way we kind of did for the real estate agent. Nothing long, but just trying to see if we can get a quick proposal in. And I don't know if the city manager already has an idea who would handle that, but we can just talk it out.
Okay. And would you see what would be the selection process?
hadn't really thought about it. You know, depending on how many we got in, it would be fairly quickly probably to want to get it back to the council, and the council just decided on what those were is my idea.
Because you
have the final, because you have the final say on who would be the sublease. So,
okay,
you know, I'm open to suggestions. I really hadn't thought that out.
Okay, sorry, I'm doing that. did you have any discussion with the chamber and the economic development program to maybe help facilitate this?
Or? Absolutely, they are prepared and you know to help with the proposal and to get the word out there and to try to solicit anyone who might be interested in the building.
Okay. So, you know, maybe a way to go just to toss this out is with our economic development committee and our subcommittee members, the Johnsons. That might be a nice way to avoid the council having to sort through all of these. And if staff and the rest of the council thought it was prudent to allow that committee to be our primary evaluation team. I'll toss that out as an idea.
Yeah, I was writing that down as you were going through, you know, your questions. It makes a lot of sense to do that. I'd be a supporter of that. Nancy, she's, you know, she would be the subcommittee person, and so would Christine. So hopefully they'd be amenable to
we'll
that.
We'll bring you back lots of good ideas.
Cool.
staff, you have any concerns with that?
No, it sounds like a great plan.
Oh, great. Okay. That I'm just really quickly double checking. Yeah, and then also part of that evaluation would look at what each of the proposals could cover as far as trying to maximize their share of the expenses of the site. So I assume that would be something.
Pay us the most.
Right. So at this point, just so the public's aware, they could contact the City Hall to get inquire about where to submit proposals or to get more details.
Why don't you have them call the city manager's office?
Okay. Do you mind saying that over?
772-6205.
Yeah, if it's approved, I just want to get that out there. And we could also post something on the website for people. So.
Absolutely.
Great. All right. With that, I will retire my microphone.
Okay. Any other questions for discussion or anything like that? Ready for a motion? I think we need to have a motion that includes seeking proposals for direction and a subcommittee for evaluation, which would be the Economic Development Subcommittee.
Mayor.
Okay.
Mayor.
Yes.
If I may.
Yes.
My assumption is then you'll be, if approved this evening, you'll be discussing tomorrow night the budget implications?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank
yes.
You. Sorry to be a killjoy.
Thanks.
Actually, I had one other a question, too, before the motion gets made. The Economic Development Committee is somewhat fluid. People come and kind of go in and out of that official committee. So I don't know if we want to. You know, Nancy, some people come and then we don't see them for 2 weeks. Should we?
You know, historically, it's been until these last four meetings that John called with additional people involved. It's really been a very stable committee. I mean, there have been the same people for most of the time. Not that's not saying that we could get all of these people in the same place at the same time to choose. But I think if we had a majority of like John and you and I even, but
Craig.
That would be enough.
Yeah, I think the four of us, you and I and John and Craig, I think would be good just because I know some folks come and go and they probably don't know there. And that might be just some of them are business owners, so, you know, we wouldn't want to be a bias. I'm not saying we would because they're not like that. This committee is wonderful, but just to put some structure around it might be more fair for folks.
Well, I think we also have a couple business owners from that area who probably would have some really value. When we get a sub-tenant, does it go to the... Where does it go?
Yes, it would go to closed on the negotiations for it. If it deals with price and terms as opposed to dealing with outside of that purview. So we'll have to look at the proposals and how it shakes out.
Great, thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, let's call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, moving on to item D5. thank you guys for coming. Item D5, water reclamation facility. Ms. Luker, Mr. Livick.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Hi, I'm going to take this one since I've been quiet all evening. This is your water reclamation facility status report, and I will make a note that we will be bringing this to you at the first meeting of each month for council. We had talked a little bit about bringing it to the second meeting, but as you're aware, we cancel traditionally a couple of meetings a year, and they're always the second meeting of the month. So you will be seeing this on your agenda on a monthly basis. We don't have a lot of change because, as you might remember, we just brought this 2 weeks ago to you. I will let you know, though, that you're aware that we have a JPA scheduled meeting for this Thursday in Cayucas, and I am happy to let you know that today the contract with Rickenbach was signed. And then I will turn it over to Rob Livick. He may have an idea about our kickoff meeting. I'm assuming it's going to be pretty quick here.
Yeah. The kickoff meeting is take place within about a week after contract signing. So John is getting his folks together to come into the office either towards the end of this week or actually towards the end of next week. I'm going to be out for a couple of days at the beginning of the week. So I anticipate we have this kickoff meeting by next Friday. Within 3 weeks of the kickoff meeting, the schedule calls for the first stakeholder meeting, so they'll be interviewing stakeholders and interested parties on it. And then within 4 weeks of that kickoff meeting, so a week after the stakeholder, they'll have their first public workshop on the project. So we can anticipate that public workshop by about the third week in July, that first public workshop. Is the way the schedule lays out per the contract. Now, we're flexible on that. If folks are going to be out of town because of the council hiatus, we can work around that, those dates.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Rob. Great. Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
I would just wonder who would be at the kickoff meeting and if you're having pizza or...
I hadn't planned on pizza.
You didn't share
forget about those things.
Well, it's okay. They have to come anyway. Usually that's used as a carrot. But could you just, for the sake of the public, tell us who might be involved?
The project team, Mr. Rickenbach and his team members, Mike Nungley, the civil engineer, Debbie Rudd, a planner from RRM who will be heading the public outreach side, and a biologist, Kevin Merck, along with city staff members, Bruce Keough, Rick Sauerwein, myself, we'll get a whole group of people, city manager. Now we're going to have pizza to get everybody there. City attorney, he always likes to have pizza with us, so we'll have him to the kickoff meeting.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great.
And for the first workshop, public workshop, that will be recorded?
I don't think we've talked to AGP, but I don't think it's going to be a problem because we're probably haven't met our number of Brown Act meetings, so we have a few left that they could get in there.
Yeah, I bring that up because originally it looked like we were going to be a couple weeks before that that real kind of general break area where we have the meeting canceled, and it's kind of in the heart of summer, so quite a few people will be traveling. Including probably myself during that week. So I just think it will be very important to have that recorded for people to be able to watch. And if we could think about additional ways for if there are key questions or input needs that the project manager's hoping to glean from that workshop, if there's alternative methods for people to be able to provide that input?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll do it similar to what we've done on previous workshops, open up a portal on the website so that people can submit questions via email. We'll have a comment form in our office. Telephone always works for if you can make it through the city's voicemail system. That works.
Do we have a list from previous comments from folks in
JPA, but if you only want to know about the new water reclamation facility, you should at least sign up for that. Notify me.
Okay. And along those lines, as we have just recently in a number of other high-profile workshops or study sessions, I think it'd be really important to have an invitation sent directly to all of our advisory board members for that workshop and input opportunity.
Yes.
Okay. And then my last comment was in regards to with this monthly status report. I think it's really important that we have the project timeline on here as well. So we're looking back at what's been achieved so far and the actions, but then also we're keeping track of our plans and the proposed timeline as it gets adjusted.
And we are also putting this timeline onto the city's website. I just emailed that to our webmistress, and I actually did put a section in there with anticipated project milestones that we're looking to meet. So I have the anticipated kickoff meeting, the stakeholders outreach, and the first public meeting listed on there.
Okay, and then my last question would be with the stakeholders outreach. George's getting work. So the stakeholders outreach, that was could you describe who you see as the stakeholders?
You know, we've had this question from our consultant team, who are stakeholders, and at first they had identified as key stakeholders, and you know, we talked with them. Really, we want to include all the stakeholders that are out there. So we have a lot of email addresses from folks that have commented in the past. We have several organizations that have commented in the past. And so we'll be compiling those, see where we have commonalities, and we'll look to our consultant team to compile a list that we'll reach out to. And also, with our ability to, you know, put information on our website, if we miss somebody, you know, that we're not going to, you know, turn away their comments if they have comments on, you know, some of the questions that we might have.
Great. So a member of the public who's really interested could inject themselves as a stakeholder.
A new resident that just moved to town that didn't know anything about it until tonight when they turned on Channel 20. We welcome their comments as we do folks that have been tracking this project for the, I don't know how long, but for a while.
Okay.
In other words, everybody's a stakeholder.
Great. And along those lines, at the next Public Works Advisory Board meeting, would you mind updating the advisory board and the public through that meeting as well about what we've just talked about?
I'll include that in the director's report.
Okay, great.
Okay, question over to my left.
Don't leave out the kindergarten kids because they're going to be paying for this, you know.
Christine?
I hate to introduce this kind of a question this late in the evening, but would you think it would be possible to do a notify me about the new notify me? Okay, so if we have a new way of setting up, like there's going to be, so and I have to go on and adjust my settings, correct? So that I make sure,
correct,
I'm on Notify Me to get the WRF information. So if we have a general Notify Me, which we often do, send out information.
I think we can send, there's a general city one that we have a lot of people signed up for. We could send a Notify Me out through that to notify them to sign up for the new Notify Me.
It might be. It's kind of a funny question.
No, I'm sorry, but I was just thinking, I don't, it's because I read the minutes from last 2 weeks ago, and we talked about it, and I said, oh, I have to go and sign up myself to receive the new Notify Me.
We can do that. What might be worthwhile is I believe the webmistress has a way to, I had to say that, has a way to look at who has the number of people that have signed up for a particular Notify Me, so maybe we'll take a look at that, but and see if we've got, you know, 500. Maybe not necessary, but it's probably still doable.
What do we do when
we
send out? Yeah, well, what do we do when we send out? So there's some general notices that always go out. Like when we notice.
We can do that.
Yeah, that would just be great because it would, I think, spur people to get involved. Thank you. And then can the council also send stakeholder people to you, folks that any
Definitely.
Council member thinks is a stakeholder?
Definitely.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. And with that, item D5 is concluded. No motions necessary. And thanks very much for the report. And we'll move on to item D6. Appointment of voting delegate to California Joint Powers Insurance Authority, Ms. Luker.
And this is really, good evening again, this is really just a housekeeping issue every year. The CJPIA, who deals with our insurance issues, basically, has...
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. That concludes. All right, good job. Okay, looks like we're down to council declaration of future agenda items. We're almost there, folks. Are there any future agenda items from council? I'll look to my left. George?
Yeah, I would like to know what happened to the rock project that I put in, I don't know how many months and months ago. It kind of just died. Is there any way to
rock
find
park,
out where that is? Yeah, the parking lot in the rock area.
Mayor Irons? I could respond to that and probably save
That'd
the staff
great.
Report.
That'd be great.
Thank you. Interestingly enough, the last time we heard that, we were waiting for some funding to do a master plan for that area, and the funding was going to be coming from park and lieu funds that are generated from development. And interestingly enough, about 2 weeks ago, we received a pretty sizable sum of park and lieu funds that will allow us to move forward with master plan in that area. So it's on track, George.
Thank
you. Council member, League.
Thank you.
Christine?
It occurred to me after the last meeting that we there was the minutes that we reviewed and the past reports on the Chorro Valley study. There was a Chorro Valley subcommittee that was made up of two council members, and I don't know if we have that, but since it seems to be such a unique situation for us, I'd like to see if we could put that on a future agenda, if there would be support. Reinstituting a Chorro Valley subcommittee. I saw that there was, that in the past there had been council members on a Chorro Valley subcommittee.
Support to bring that back as an agenda item? And be sure we've got support for that. Bring that back and re-agendize that. And that basically is a staff report that would, you know, allow us to discuss this in open session to form a subcommittee. For the Chorro Valley.
Maybe some history on the fact that how many subcommittees in the past. Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
That covers it. Okay, good. Nancy, Noah?
Yeah, I did want to bring up the 4th of July and the request for sponsorship there. I wasn't able to catch Joe tonight or today with my calls about the timing for the overall city sponsorship or discussion that we asked for with the last time we visited special events and city sponsorship, but I don't know what the timing would be there, but I know that the 4th nonprofit is very anxious to try to understand where we're going and what potential support the city may offer. So I wanted to make sure that that is on our future agenda and make sure we're not pushing it back too far.
Yes, and I think that probably should be something that we think about tomorrow night at our budget workshop. I think we have some requests for other funds that might be part of that discussion.
The direction from the staff meeting where we brought the sponsorship policy forward was to wait till the event holders function happened. As you'll recall, that happened about a week or so ago, and to bring back the sponsorship policy, and we were looking to bringing that back maybe the first meeting in July with some specific criteria. We had talked to the last city council meeting when we heard this item about setting up some criteria. So that's in the works. Mr. Woods and I have talked a couple times about that policy, so it's coming back to you. That meeting will occur after July 4th, but I think I said at the last meeting that it doesn't preclude you, even if you get that sponsorship policy in place. The 4th of July will be invoiced all their charges, the majority of their charges after their event. So you would still be able, if you so choose and they met the criteria, to have them fit in the sponsorship policy. Does that make sense?
Yes. Good. Okay. All right. Since we have concluded the future declaration items, we can call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah,